Hi, this is Mary H.K. Choi, and you're listening to Hey Cool Life, a micropod about mental health and creativity. This is episode 160, and it is Friday, October 20th, where I am, which is in Japan. I am in Tokyo for the first time. It is very exciting. It is a bizarre amount of information for my brain, and I say this not to otherize Japan. I just mean that the jet lag, the travel, the feeling as though I like lost a day that now I have to somehow retrieve. It's kind of like that sensation of moving around while feeling as though you kind of missed a button on your placket, or you misbutton them so they're like in alignment but slightly not. That's how I'm feeling, and it's so great. There is something for my specific brain and operating system and neurodivergent mind, because I struggle so much with time, and like I constantly wake up feeling like I'm late. I constantly feel like I'm forgetting an appointment, and I know that that has to do with ADHD and a lack of executive function and just like time blindness. So like the constant feeling of being kind of off is sensational. It's like there's like sirens going by, so it's much like New York in this way. It's like genuinely, also I'm like listening to my brain be like, ooh, what is that? I want to go play with that and ignore this thing I'm doing. I'm also like so self-conscious. I don't know, it's so funny. I wonder if it can even be heard at all. But anyway, yeah, I'm just like completely off the hook, right? Like there's no salvaging this. There's no feeling. There's no like fixing it. And the bonus of like all the emails that I'm gonna get for like my waking hours have already happened, like, and I'm like already in the future, and I'm already like gonna be behind, and it's, I don't know, it's really lovely. Like I really wonder how I can apply this same sense of, dare I say, joie de vivre? No, just like zero fucks given. Like I would love to have this in my life, because it's not as if I'm like working in a different way here. I mean, I am, but like there is still work I have to do. I'm still on the hook for the things that I'm like similarly on the hook for in New York. It just feels a little like woo and like loopier and wavier, and wow, like if I could have that be the underlying sensation while I'm trying to create creative work, like it would be so fun. Because honestly, like I shared last episode about affirmations, and there's one that, it's funny, like I literally can't even admit it, can't even remember if I shared it, but there is one that I try to say also, which is that my brain is fun and exciting. And actually, my brain is fun and exciting. Like, it is so strange. Like, some of the sort of, like, and this is, like, a very autistic thing. It's, like, some of the associations that can get conjured or that I see are just, like, really, like, I don't know. They're, like, greatly humorous. And when I'm not, like, panicked, being like, what is that? Like, whoa, that leap of logic makes zero sense. Like, show your work. Where are the receipts? Like, if I'm not in that place, I'm like, whoa, that was really weird. Like, you know, like, that's so fun. Like, and so anyway, I'm trying to have a sense of, like, amusement and, like, delight. And so on the topic of delight, I'm working on, this is a terrible segue, actually. I should be, like, on the topic of agony. On the topic of Delagony. I have to finish my book on this trip. Like there's just a couple of things I want to do before sending it off to the editors, and my agent has seen it. And so far my agent's seen it and my partner has seen it. So they both confirm it is a book, which if you are a writer, this affirmation actually is pretty significant, because that feeling, at least for me, that I suspect that I'm writing 100,000 words of something that is the word count for a book, but not the content of a book or the cohesion of a book, or like a book that anybody with eyeballs and time and like, you know, sentience would want to read. And so two people have said it's a book, and so that feels really good. So it's going to go to the editors and my publisher, and it's a new editor and a new publisher, so I'm really nervous, and the book is late, which is just a tangent, almost kind of just to talk shit about myself, which is something that I do, so that other people don't do it for me, but which is to say that, like, I needed to rewrite, like, all the chapters on the mom. There's just the through line that I wanted to put in. And I woke up because of jet lag yesterday at 1:30 a.m. And it was funny because my partner was just like, what time is it? And I felt so much shame. I was like, it's 1:30 and I'm getting up and, like, fuck it. And then I just had this thing of remembering that actually jet lag in this direction is one of the like great delights of my brain and my life, which is if I am in this place on a book, which is not like necessarily generative, it's like much more exacting, it's much more focused in terms of like the thing I want to accomplish, I can crunch out, like, thank you hyperfocus, a really substantial amount of work in like a very concentrated period of time. And so I woke up at 1:30 and I just had that bee in my bonnet buzzing of like, I think this is it. And I worked for about 6 hours. I did the thing that I wanted to. I was so loopy. And I even, like, you know, if you are longtime listeners of this podcast will know that I struggle with an eating disorder, and the kind where I used to be bulimic. But I always actually like honor that process by like still identifying as a bulimic, because that binge and purge modality is how I live my life. It's like being really stingy with myself emotionally and then not being able to adhere to that level of perfectionism and then having like a blowout. Like, that is how I do time. That's how I do money. It's how I do affection. It's how I do like everything. So, which is to say that like I struggled first and foremost with food, and yesterday, because I was up at 1:30, I was like, I want a snack. And usually I don't eat in the middle of the night. I have a food plan. For me, my food plan is I have 3 meals, and that, which sounds really obvious, but it's significant to me to have that just like plan of care. And a meal is something that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So like I don't like graze all day usually, or when I do, I have to just accept that I'm like in a really anxious place or something else is going on in my life. And part of the healing around that eating disorder is just giving that to myself and being kind about it. Like, I think my eating disorder was half like behavioral, trauma-based, all that stuff, and, you know, or like half of my eating disorder was like the things that I was doing, and then the other, like, kind of the most of it was like just how much I could hate myself for the doing the things that I'm doing. And so like I just woke up at 1:30, had a kind of a, you know, messy snack, and that was okay. I did my work. I felt manic by like 7:30 in the morning when my partner got up, and I also just let myself ride that, you know, like, and that really was like, I think, the substantial gift, where I was just like, I feel manic, I feel crazy, I feel like I had all the adrenaline, I have so much like dopamine coursing through my system. And then not worrying about it, like not being like, you idiot, like you're gonna crash, you're in another country, like what's gonna happen? Like, we scheduled to go see museums yesterday, It's like, you ruined your museum day. And then there was that other layer of, my partner is the one who initiated wanting to go see museums, because to be honest, like, I could spend every single freaking day here just in a dollar store. And so I was just like, you know, your partner's going to be so mad at you. Like, they're going to accuse you of like sabotaging the one day that that's their day. Just all this story. Meanwhile, we're here for 3 more weeks. And I could just observe that and be like, yeah, like, that is always your first thought, or like, that is always your first 3 thoughts. And even when my partner and I were sort of puttering around, they were like, oh, like, we should really watch out for like crunchy feelings or collisions today because of your sleep schedule. And to be honest, like, you're pretty manic and I am kind of operating on a very, very different frequency. So we should be really mindful of that. And I got super prickly because I was just like, well, I feel great. Like, whether I'm high or not on my own endocrine system is none of your business. I feel terrific, and I feel terrific now, and I feel a tremendous sense of triumphant accomplishment, and that's where I'm at. And so it was so nice, again, like, for the sheer volume of therapy I've had, to be able to like really see the yield of that, because we had a conversation. It was so sober. And I gently asked for that concern to be like not directed at me. Like, it's nothing I'm doing, it's nothing I am. But just like, if they're worried about being in a different place than I am, they're completely entitled to that. I'm so glad that they were able to share. But I just don't want to get into a place where we pathologize me for my like sleep schedule, because I was already having that argument with myself and like really being focused about forgiving myself and allowing for it and actually just finding it funny. And then in the conversation, it came to pass that we sort of realized that what my partner's concern actually was they were tired. And so they became really hyper vigilant and sort of enmeshed with my like fatigue that would definitely come, because they didn't feel like they were allowed to take up space and be tired themselves. And that's definitely a place that they go. Like, they have a lot of like scarcity and stinginess with themselves, which I completely identify with. And it was so nice not to be like, I'm not tired, you're tired, which it was. Like, that actually was like the caption on that. But to have the conversation for that to be really okay, and for everyone to know that regardless of whatever adjustments we needed to make later that day, we would do it, because we are 2 individual adults with credit cards and phones, and this can be done. And like, so this is all to say that like, I am so grateful for the grace I can offer myself and others. Like, I will be okay no matter what. And actually, if I just like follow the through line, like, okay, what is the worst thing that I anticipate? And I'm scared of everything, right? Like, I'm scared of being cold. I'm scared of being like humiliated. I think these are the things that I just wake up concerned about. I'm so scared of being hungry. I'm so scared of being thirsty. I'm really scared about being tired. Like, being tired feels like all day I feel like I'm gonna get a pop quiz from somewhere and I'm not gonna be able to fulfill it, or I'm gonna let someone down, or I'm gonna have a disaster and or a meltdown. And all of these things actually get processed in my brain as with the stakes and the weight that it's going to kill me. But if I actually sort of follow the through line of what is the worst thing that can happen, this is dark. But the worst thing that can happen, the absolute worst thing that can happen, is that something happens and I actually physically die. If I'm actually physically dead, hear me out, this may not be your story and that's totally fine, I will be really okay. I'm not even here anymore. Like, and that's what I have to remember, not only to separate the fact that being awkward or cringe or cold or like needing to find a bathroom and disrupting the thing that we're doing at the time and having to task switch, none of these things will actually kill me. So I want to separate that. And also, whatever will kill me, I will be okay in. I will be sad for the people who miss me, who they will presumably miss me. I will be really sad in anticipation of those people missing me, like my partner. But ultimately, I'll be okay, and I'll be extra okay if I don't spend all day worrying about how sad my partner's going to be, which is definitely something that I can see myself doing. That's the dispatch. Like, I am working. I also, oh my God, just to celebrate things that are happening. So the writer's strike was gruesome, gruesome, gruesome. I think all told, I made like 4 weeks of paycheck this year, and it is an absolute testimony to my stinginess and my savings ratio and all of the like weird behavioral tics that I have inherited from my immigrant parents that we are able to survive this year. But I just got a check for something that I'm working on now with the writer's strike over that allows me to keep health insurance next year. So I really want to celebrate that as a win, especially since it is such a nerve-wracking thing to leave for a month-long trip without like any source of income. So that's really wonderful. I am looking at my notes, feeling some shame and discomfort around like this one's shorter, while also knowing that every time I record one that's like 22 minutes, I'm like, this one's too long. But yeah, I'm in Japan. I will spend a lot of days here at dollar stores probably just to advocate for my personal needs, which, oh my goodness, like if you know, you know. And I say this not with any snideness, because I didn't know and now I get to know, but like I bought things that will so significantly improve my life. One of which is this little handled towel. On one side it's quite soft, and the other side it's got like a scrubby texture, and it loops around the back of your bathroom faucet so you can like clean it back there. Because hi, I live in New York. My sink is like the size of like, it's like a jewel tiny sink. Not the vaping hardware, but like it's just like very, very small. It's like a good size bowl or like a plate, like a plate bowl. It's so small. And so the sink is like the faucet is like right up against the wall, and I can never get back there. And it wants me, and it really makes me want to just like cease existence when I can't like get the buildup back there. So that is something I bought. It comes in two colors, which fills me with incredible joy. The other thing is, okay, so I have like sensitivity issues, like high autism, like of having a body. And actually, anyway, that's probably like a detour for a different podcast. But now I just want to finish the thought, which is that like, I really think I can't, like I struggled with having a body and really thought for a long, long time, vis-a-vis eating disorder, that making that body smaller would diminish the discomfort. And I think it's because I'm physically uncomfortable so often because of my hypersensitivity around autism. And so, and I just, and not knowing for like 40 plus years. So like, I have all these like things that really are significant in my body. And one of them is like shoes. And so I bought some insoles for the ball of the foot. And this, I don't know if you've noticed this, but every ball of foot gel insole thing for like when you wear a heel or whatever, boots, they're like so thick. They're too thick for me. And when I went to Hands, like it used to be called Tokyo Hands, but it's like Hands now. It's a dollar store. It's many, many floors. There was like a whole section of insoles that varied by millimeter. And so like I bought the 2 millimeter insole. It's what I needed. And these two things. Oh, and I also bought whiteboard markers because the ones that I have at home exacerbate my carpal tunnel because they're really freaking hard to open and close. And so I bought these ones that open and close just with the sliding, satisfying click. And if you're into like ASMR or pens, you'd be into this. And it just makes me feel radically fulfilled. And so I will continue to keep giving myself these very, very small gifts and the incredible gift of time in like locating these gifts and not do the thing that I did as a part of masking, which is just self-gaslight and be like, no, this is not a thing, or your very specific needs are too specific. And so we're just going to give you the most generic thing that everybody else gets because you're also normal. I'm just going to get the most hyper-specialized things here. And I also had this like hot take of, is everyone in Japan autistic then? And my partner was like, no, I just think that production cycles or like things that we get in America just like are such a product of late stage capitalism. And then it's like, who can we outsource to make this thing without any consistency or any like loyalty? And then you just end up with these like strange products. Hello, no shots, but Amazon. It's like, and like, I just think that the human body is more sensitive than maybe we give credit for. And like, maybe if I wasn't like infinity scrolling on my phone before just like actually listening to the things that I want, like maybe everybody needs specialized everything. And if that is your idea of hell, then more power to you. But it really is my idea of like heaven, even if as a Korean person I feel kind of conflicted saying that about Japan, even like obliquely about dollar stores. But there it is. Anyway, now this is too long, which is perfect. Have a gentle day. Thank you for listening. And yeah, just sending love. Like, oh, this planet, it's so hard. Okay. Yeah.